Would you turn now to that portion of the word we read in John chapter 11? And we may read again at verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And thus he spake, he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Many people, sadly, when not humbled to confess sin and repent of their sin, they're very often, when challenged with the gospel, they become angry and become incensed even, or to justify their own view, can become persecutors of those who come with the message. And we see here, particularly in the case of Caiaphas and the council, that they did not like the news that they were hearing. Even those who came and told them the things that Jesus had done, it seemed the things which Jesus did believe, they believed on him, we are told, some of them, verse 45. They had obviously seen other things, as well as, of course, the great miracle of the raising of Lazarus. And they did not wish to hear that great and good news. It's an amazing that such a wonderful thing, and yet they would rather not have heard it, it seemed, at all. And after all, Caiaphas and the other Pharisees had themselves heard other stories, and had no doubt, we would imagine anyway, maybe some of them had even seen for themselves some of the miracles that the Lord Jesus had performed, or at least would have met with some of the people that we know that from elsewhere, that he had performed miracles upon. And even those who came, in verse 46, we are told them what things Jesus had done. And there's the contrast there between 45 and 6. The 45, there were some of the Jews, when they saw the things Jesus did, believe, but others of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. They were, as it were, spying on what was happening there. And what we see there then, that they even seemed to hate the Lord Jesus Christ more for it. And you wonder, why not? Why were they? Why were they not believing? Well, it was because, of course, that he didn't fit in any way, how they viewed the Messiah, and how they thought, and what they thought the Messiah would be. The Messiah they were awaiting. We know elsewhere where he came from, can any good thing come out of Nazareth, and so on. Where he was born, and wrongly thought. And they were prejudiced against him from the outset. Not in the way that they wanted him to be. Now, it wasn't that they weren't waiting for a Messiah, because the Jews were waiting for a Messiah. We know that from the promises all the way through. And they would know the promises in the Old Testament scriptures, these Pharisees, who would be so-called experts of the scriptures and of the law. But this man, Caiaphas, he had no intention to listen to any proof or any suggestion that Christ, this Jesus, was the Messiah. And this Caiaphas was, after all, he was the high priest. He was the representative at that time of the Levitical priesthood. Surely he could be trusted. Surely he would know what the people think. If anybody knows, Caiaphas will know. And if he says this is not the Christ, well, he must be right. Whatever, it seems that the signs are there. And even this great miracle of the raising of Lazarus, it didn't convince them at all. Great miracle. Not that, of course, we have to remember that it was great and wonderful and amazing in the sight of all the people. But you see, to Christ, the miraculous raising of the dead Lazarus was no more difficult than any other miracle. But surely they would not have greater proof that this was indeed the man that God had sent, Christ, God manifest in the flesh, that he was the Messiah. But they didn't want to know, and Caiaphas particularly did not want to know. And I would like to look then, first of all, this evening at this man, Caiaphas, the character of Caiaphas. Well, we see that when at the very outset here, we're told about in verse 49, after their consideration in 47 and 48, they were talking together at the council. What are we going to do? This man does many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe in him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. And then he speaks and he says, verse 49, ye know nothing at all. And you can hear his pride coming out there. And you can hear his cynicism as well. Because I'm the high priest. What are you talking about? Why are you even considering this in any way whatsoever? Here was a man full of his own importance. And obviously using his position as the high priest to influence the others, to have the rule over them. Of course, it wasn't that they needed much persuasion to put the Lord Jesus to death and to try and trap him. And so what he's arguing here, well, if he lives, the nation will perish. If he dies, the nation will be saved. So he must die. And here, at the very outset, you can see the prejudice with this man, the kind of man that he was. Now, apart from anything else as well, he speaks here about the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation because they could believe in Jesus. Now, there was no reason to think that. And we see later on that one of the claims that he wanted to be crowned king and the Romans would not want that. But he never did at all in that way. But here we see how they are thinking. Because the Romans, whatever else they conquered, it seemed that they never interfered with the religion of any nation that they conquered. They conquered the people, but they just some of their own religions, but other people, they were left to do what they wanted. And whatever they took over, so what he's saying, what they're saying here, they'll come away, take both our place and nation. There's no reason whatever to think that. And so you can see that there is manipulation going on here amongst them all. And it's astonishing that after the greatest of miracles in man's eyes, he and his fellow Pharisees here, their hatred of Jesus seems to come more to the fore. It's about putting him to death. It's about getting rid of them. It's about disturbing their comfortable situation as the Sanhedrin, where they were ruling over the people. And so Caiaphas here, he was determined not to believe in him. Whatever proof they had, whatever proof was presented that he was the Messiah, we are not believing him. And friends, you know, that is much the same to this day. It is still the same. Maybe some here, even this evening, maybe some listening in. Many who are in many ways like Caiaphas and like the council of the Pharisees here and the chief priests. Religious. Outwardly religious. And maybe people looking at them and following their example. But here we see also self-righteousness. And you know, friends, there's an aspect of self-righteousness in any who don't believe in Christ. Because they are believing, as it were, in themselves and what they are themselves. So many like that. And many will say, well, it's not that we don't believe in God. And oh, certainly they would believe in God. The Pharisees, of course they believed in God. Caiaphas, of course, I'm a high priest. And many today will say, oh, it's not that we don't believe in God. It's not that we don't believe in Jesus' Son. But not in the way that you people speak about him. Not in the way you Christians present him. How we are to live. I don't accept that. I don't think that's necessary. And people ignore all the clear evidence of the word of God itself, which lays out clearly what it is to believe. It lays out clearly how we are to worship. It lays out clearly who we are to worship. It lays out clearly how we are to live, we are to follow in the Lord Jesus. But so many don't want to know. And there is that self-dependence and self-righteousness with them. And here is where a God of their own choosing. This is what they had. Not the way of the scripture, which they knew, but they just would not accept it. Maybe you're like that yourself. A God of your own choosing. I think of, and I hope nobody takes this wrong way around, but Alcoholics Anonymous. They do a good work. There's no doubt about that. And many homes are thankful for that. But that often there is a belief in God. Belief in God. Or as they have in one of the writings, a God as we understand him, or as you understand him. I remember the first congregation I was in, and there was a meeting used to take place where the hall, where we used to have a prayer meeting hall before I went there, was used for a local group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and which was fine. I had no great objection to that at all. Until one afternoon I went in, they had set up the hall, I can't remember, Monday or a Tuesday, whatever night it was. I just had a look round. And I was horrified when I went in there, because in our little prayer meeting hall there, a table had been set out with a cloth over it at the front. And here was two things, a big picture of a man, an American man, who had started this Alcoholics Anonymous. Big picture of him there in front of everybody. And the book that they use, one of the books that they use for guidance, whatever, open like a Bible beside it. And I thought, this is not right. Here, a God of their own choosing, their understanding. Now, some of you know more about that, I know, than others. But that is how it's seen. Friends, this is how it was with Caiaphas. A God of their own choosing. Not the way it suits us. As I said, many like that still. Just not fit into the way that we are and the way that we want things to be. And his self-righteousness and hypocrisy comes across. He's just concerned for himself. You see, here is one professing to be God's chosen high priest, yet he's denying the evidence of God at work through Christ. But he's determined and will not let go until he sees the death as he sees of this imposter. And we see then, friends, his hypocrisy. We see it later on. Remember later on at the trial of our Lord, we read that he rent his clothes, and a sign of being grieved at something. He was so sorry and so sad that God's name was dealt with that way. Grieved for the honor of God. It was just hypocrisy. No, friends, the danger of that at times as well. He was a man and his mind was already made up as to his relationship with the Lord Jesus. His mind was already made up whatever anybody said. Again, sadly, there are people like that. People even who come under the sound of the gospel, and their mind is already made up. People have decided what their God should be and who their God should be. Whatever the evidence that's presented, it must be a God of your own choosing. What you think Jesus should be to suit yourself and your own situation. Oh, friends, the danger of that. How he should relate to you rather than the other way around. It is all about self. And beware, friend, of the danger of that. Accepting Christ as your Savior only in accordance with your rules, in accordance with what you think how it should be. And that relationship is about self rather than God first of all. You see the danger, friends, of knowing of Jesus and yet denying his power and right to submit to him. Caiaphas knew about Jesus. He knew about the miracles. He knew about his teaching. He would well know, maybe even heard him from time to time preaching. And nobody could find fault with him. But here he is, and he's so, his character is such that he wants his own way. And friends, to submit to Christ and his demand, he demands our submission to live by his word. And here is one then. We need to humble ourselves. And this man, because of his character, his pride, he would not do so. He wouldn't want to humble himself in this way. He is a proud man. But also we see the irrationalness, how irrational Caiaphas and the council of the Pharisees were. Because it doesn't make sense in another way, does it? You see, they said, in verse 47, what will we do? This man doeth many miracles. They acknowledge that. And you would think that, well, let's go and talk to him. Let's find out more about him, just in case. But then, see how they're going. If we let him alone, all men will believe, and Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And then the high priest spoke up, and so on. It is expedient for us that one should die for the people. And the whole nation perish not. You know, friends, yes, he takes in the whole nation perish not. But it was about himself first. It is about himself. Consider that it's expedient for us that one should die for the people. For us. You see, that's not how it is at all with him. The Romans shall come, verse 48, and take away both our place and nation. The others shall say. Notice again, it's in our place. Here were those who were proud Pharisees. And they saw this as a problem. So it's expedient, he said. It's advantageous. It is profitable for who? For the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They would lose their position. For us, you see, here again is the self-righteousness coming in. And how irrational the whole thing it is. They had already decided they were not going to accept him for who he claimed to be. Despite all that they had heard, despite all that they had seen, and as I said, probably with their own eyes as well. Well, surely there was something of that in verse 47. For this man doeth many miracles. And they knew it. And they had heard of it, and as I said, more than likely seen some of them. And so against all the odds, against all the proof, against all the scripture, they still did not want it. Just didn't seem rational in their thinking, and they weren't. They didn't want to know or even consider the witness of those in verse 45. They had seen and they believed. What do they know? We are the Pharisees. What do they know? We are the Sanhedrin. I am the high priest. You're going to listen to me. They're far happier to listen to those and told them in verse 46, who came and told not in a good way, but those who were spying out the land for them. You see, they couldn't deny that he had done miracles. So why then did they not believe? They couldn't deny what the Lord had done. Indeed, in a sense, they weren't even denying it because they said that they believed it. But they could deny himself and who he was. Do you see how irrational and illogical this is? You see, again, they didn't fit in the idea of a Messiah. Friends, I again come back to yourselves. Is that how it is with some here tonight? Oh, you believe in God. You never deny that there is a God, as every Pharisee. You don't deny that you believe in some way or other that there will be a heaven for some and a hell for others. But is it not often on your own terms how you wanted to be? A God, a savior of your own imagination. That certainly was how it was Caiaphas and with the Pharisees here. And more often than not, it is to do with your not understanding or accepting what you deserve as a sinner. And so you see yourself as they did. You see, elsewhere, remember when they were speaking with the Lord, he went in to eat with sinners. We are not sinners. We're more than that. We're higher up than that. And maybe you're here as well and listening in tonight. And you see others, well, they don't go to church. They don't read their Bible. They live not very good. They don't live as well as I do. And so surely God will save me. Surely I will be in heaven. Surely I won't be cast off. And yet you are not listening to the terms of this, the gospel as it's set out in the Holy Scriptures and what is required of you. You see, friends, when the gospel is preached and people are challenged by it, it is rejected because it is not as they would have it. That's the reality. Why else are there some here tonight who are not saved? Because it's not as you would have it. Oh, yes, you want to be in heaven. Indeed, all the Pharisees, they were guaranteed they thought be in heaven. But there won't be any more than you will be if you're seeking to get to heaven on your own terms. Here it was set out before them, miracles seen by them. And when the gospel is preached to you, my friend, what is your view of Christ? You see, when a gospel, so-called, a preacher message, if you like, that challenges no one's perception of themselves and not challenged about their sinfulness, many are happy with that and leaves people comfortable. Remember what we read in Jeremiah, the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. What a fearful thing. Oh, my friend, I hope we're here or listening tonight. I hope that's not a picture of you. You love to have it so. Everything without a challenge. So we see then, friends, the great excuse here about expedient that one die for the people and the whole nation perish not. What were they afraid of? Well, that the Romans would take over. Well, we know, of course, what happened. Some few decades later in Jerusalem. But you see, at the same time, like many of the prophets in the Old Testament, who they loved to quote at times, who would willingly give up their lives because they believed in a life hereafter. If they truly believed the scripture, Why should they fear the Romans taking over the land? God was sovereign, was he not? Had he not promised the land to their children, their children's children? But you see, that was just a false thing they had here. And the great issue with so many who will not believe is just like these people here, their own way, and there is no way they are going to admit in any way whatsoever that they may be wrong. And yet all the evidence here pointed to Christ being who he claimed to be. And it still does. Open your Bible, read your Bible, and it's all there for you. As the scriptures have it and revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It is all there set out for us as it was for them. Indeed, we have more. We have more, friends, in this New Testament era, as it were, than even the Old Testament. Yes, in a sense, even more than the Pharisees here. That was for them here, without making an excuse for them. It was on one side of the cross. We are on the other now, looking back and seeing. And the proof is there, all for us. And despite all the proof that they had, they rejected his claims. And even the miracles that were obviously only done by the power of God. What does it come down to? For self, yes. Their irrational behavior, certainly sin. But was it not to do with that they feared man more than they feared God? Oh, how many are like that? Their faith in God was not true faith at all. Well, they believed in God, but that's a different thing to living a life of faith in him. And there are many and countless today who believe in God. And sadly, even within our own sphere of this congregation, I would like to think there's not a single person who belongs to this congregation who doesn't believe in God. But oh, my friend, so do the Pharisees. So do the devils believe in God. And they tremble. Do you know what it's like to tremble at the thought of God? Or are you so rational in your thinking that somehow or other you hope all will work out in the end? Oh, they betrayed Jesus, they thought, to make Rome their friend. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So, unbeliever here tonight, the proof for you is found in the scriptures. In the scriptures. What does the Lord Jesus say? Search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. And the same thing was true for the Pharisees, for Caiaphas the high priest. Search the scriptures and you'll see there all the proof. They were they who claimed to know the scriptures so well. And you might be here tonight and you think you know the Bible. Well, search them and see what it says. And you'll see what it says about believing and not believing. But your mind is not as it should be in these matters. Weigh it up for yourself and can we see your own, how irrational your own idea and thinking is. And here are the Pharisees. They saw miracles. Or you say, if only I could see a miracle. If only I could see a miracle, I would believe. Tell you this, friend, look around you in this very congregation and you'll see miracles. And consider how some that you know so well have been transformed miraculously by the power of God. Who have been brought from darkness to light, from death to life. Life that shall never end. Think yourself tonight, don't believe there's anybody here who doesn't, who cannot think of one person, maybe not within this building tonight. But you cannot think of someone who was way, far away from God, living a godless life, and it be transformed by the power of God. Miracles, friend, they're happening all around us. They're happening within our families. Some of you know that, and yet you still so rational in your thinking, you're not thinking and believing as you should. How has that come about? Nothing but by the hand of God, of the Spirit of God. My friend, don't be like Caiaphas and the council, irrational and willfully blind to all the proof that is everywhere around you. Well, then we see there the irrational thinking, his character, his irrational thinking, and the councils as well. And finally, truth will out. You know, you heard the saying, truth will out. In other words, one way or another, in spite of all efforts to conceal it, the truth will come out. And that's what we have here. You're reading in verse 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together one, the children of God that were scattered abroad. What he said there, the whole nation shall perish. One man should die for the people, verse 50, the whole nation will perish. He didn't know what he was saying. But as we have it recorded here, that John explains to us exactly, although he didn't realize it. And I suppose the best analogy we have when we see here, remember Balaam in the Old Testament. Remember him. How not of his own devising and dictating, but by the Spirit of God, as a wicked man sometimes does, and as Balaam did, despite himself, God turned his intended cursing into blessing. And here we see this man, and he's speaking a truth, and he doesn't realize it. Oh, yes, one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. You see, the Spirit of God, in one sense, dictated the words to him and put them into his mouth, but he was so blind, he did not understand it. He couldn't see them, or he didn't use them, certainly, in that sense, which the Holy Ghost designed them. He prophesied a great truth in ignorance. In ignorance. And what we have here in 51 and 52 is John's interpretation. That was it. Yes, he was going to die. As we read elsewhere in 1 John, one of the epistles, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours also only, but also the sins of the whole world, Jews and Gentiles. Ah, Caiaphas, you didn't realize what you were saying. In a sense, the truth of what you are bringing out here. And they should have understood that here was before them was the one of the Old Testament scripture spoke about. Didn't they know Isaiah 53? Well, that was evident. Didn't they know in Daniel chapter 9? Well, they see there the prophecies and what's promised of the Messiah. Go to your book of Psalms, Caiaphas. Go and read Psalm 22 and see all that is there prophesied. Go to Psalm 69. Isn't it all there for you, you Pharisees, you who know the word? But here you come with a word of truth and you don't even recognize it as such. Oh, he was speaking as it were on a political level, but John on a spiritual one, on a spiritual one. But it also, friends, shows also, does it not, that God can use even his enemies to spread his word and to speak a truth. Oh, that council would have truly understood. One man should die for the people. But they knew a Messiah was coming. But they didn't believe in a Messiah who had to sacrifice himself. They thought he was going to come as a great ruler, going to get rid of the Romans and everything else. They believed that. And yet at the same time, they're afraid of the Romans ruling over. You see, again, going back to how rational their whole thinking was. But friends, truth will come out. They could not see this was exactly what their own scriptures, which they professed to know, spoke of. The scriptures they professed to live by. They had acknowledged the miracles as real miracles, and yet they didn't acknowledge the miracle worker. They didn't see him for who he was. God manifested. Who else could perform miracles? They would acknowledge that. It's only someone from God who can perform miracles. Well, here's your proof. But. They couldn't see anything of the necessity of one having to die, of the substitutionary nature of the death of Christ. And yet the truth is spoken nevertheless. They thought, and we know elsewhere, at the wicked hand, the hands of wicked men, that he was put to death, but not in the way that they thought at all. Do you see, friends, you know, the stubbornness of unbelief. This council here put their own interpretation on what they were seeing, just to fit in with their own view of how matters should be. Now, my friend, does that ring a bell with yourself? To be a believer, a follower of Christ, according to your terms. You say that you acknowledge the truth of the Bible, and yet the reality is you have no true faith in the author of the Bible. Do you see the contradiction in your life? You cannot have one and not the other. Religious. Oh, you're religious. But so was Caiaphas, and so were the Pharisees. My dear friends, beware of religion. Beware of a Christless religion. What have you got then tonight? Faith in name only, like Caiaphas, although a high priest? Or do you know a life-transforming experience by the Spirit of God? Or a faith that is just like the high priest's? That's why, friends, at times that those of us who feel called to the ministry, the holy ministry, so often we can tremble at the thought what it is that we are doing. To have that, not office, but to have faith in Christ. At the end of the day, that's what I need, that's what you need. And the great question on that great day of judgment will be along these very lines. You know, sadly there are many Caiaphases in the land, many councils of Pharisees in the land, even within so-called Christian churches, claiming to know God, claiming to know his word, but rejecting Christ in what he is and who he is. All that will be said of every one of us here tonight, that we had seen the things which Jesus did and that we believed on him. That you and I would be numbered amongst such a people. Don't be a Caiaphas. Oh, he knows today the folly of his self-righteous and irrational behavior. My friend, with all your knowledge of the Bible, don't you end up with him and with this unholy council in a lost eternity. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may it be that our knowledge of Christ would be with true faith, that we would see and acknowledge him by faith, and only as thou wilt open our eyes will we see it, but thou art willing and able to do so. Oh, that thou would give to us then what we need to believe, and that thou would have us turn to thyself and take from us the foolishness of our self-righteousness that so often is a stumbling block to so many. Help us to realize that we must believe, truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Anything less will be of no avail for us. Oh Lord, won't thou work then in this very congregation, yea, Lord, even tonight. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.